Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. Today, I'm going to start with an article from journalnow.com, AgeWise, giving feedback on AgeWise. So here is, it's a couple of questions and answers, and so let's begin. Question, I keep hearing the term aging in place. What does that mean? Answer, aging in place is when an older adult safely, independently as possible, and comfortably continues to live in their own home and community, regardless of age, income, or ability. According to the AARP Home and Community Preferences Survey, 77% of adults aged 50 and older want to remain in their homes for the long term. The National Institute of Health recommends the following tips for individuals who are considering aging in place. 1. Plan ahead. Take time to think carefully about what you need now and how your age and medical conditions might affect what you may need in the future. 2. Anticipate how much support you may need on a daily basis, daily activities and needs, including bathing, dressing, toileting, medication management, household chores, and preparing meals, all should be considered. Think about formal supports, such as agencies and other paid help you can access, as well as informal supports such as family, friends, and neighbors who may be able to lend a hand. 3. Gather resources you might need in advance. Learn about community and local resources such as Senior Service of Forsyth County, seniorservicesinc.org, the Piedmont Triad Regional Council, ptrc.org, Area Agency on Aging. A good resource for federal level assistance that may be beneficial is longtermcare.gov. Then 4, consider the costs involved. It will be essential to think about how you will pay for the services you may need. Some things may be covered by insurance, and some may be necessary to pay for out of pocket. Benefits.gov is a good resource to help you identify benefits that you may qualify for. If you are a veteran, visit va.gov to learn whether you are eligible for benefits from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Question. I'm 71 and I've never been big on making New Year's resolutions, but my daughters are really after me to do it this year. Why should I start now? Answer. A year can go by in the blink of an eye. Sometimes we marvel at how much we've accomplished, and other times we wonder if we've done enough with the time that we've been given. The good news is that the beginning of each new year often feels like a time to reflect, as well as to look forward. Resolutions may not be your thing, but you may enjoy the idea of looking at January 1st as a time to start something new. Here are a couple of ideas for how older adults can use the new year as an opportunity to start new traditions with family and loved ones that can last for generations. Start a letter journal. Strengthen your connection with someone special in your life by sharing a journal of handwritten letters. Purchase a bound journal and write a letter inside that passes on your wisdom and shares feelings that you may not have committed before. That you may not have communicated before. Give the journal to your loved one, who will write a letter to you and then return the journal. Make a commitment to doing this once a month for at least 1 year. Next, create a recipe book. Recipes can bring back old memories of mealtime conversations, loved ones, or a taste of childhood. Over the next year, be intentional about documenting family favorites that can be passed through the generations. Or you can start a happiness jar. Commit to cultivating a mindset that is centered around gratitude and positivity. Each night, take time to reflect on your happiest moment of the day and write it down on a slip of paper. Drop the paper into a jar. Then, at the end of the month, take them out and read them out loud to yourself. If your happiest memory involved a loved one or friend, be sure to tell them about your jar and let them know they were a part of your happiest memories. This may inspire them to do the same and pass on a new tradition. You can also learn and teach something new. Continued learning can improve memory by maintaining brain cells and making sure those cells properly communicate with each other. Pair up with a younger person to teach them your favorite skill or hobby and give them the opportunity to do the same with you. This will be a way to pass your knowledge on to the next generation and help keep your mind sharp. These are just a few of the ways you can use this new year to start new traditions and bond with friends and family. Happy 2022. Now for a few items from AARP, the magazine. Chronic pain, a new approach to treating migraines. Peter Goadsby, MD, has spent 36 years researching a substance called calcitonin gene-related peptide. CGRP is a chemical that nerves use to talk to each other. It gets released during a migraine attack, explains Goadsby, a neurologist at the University of California, Los Angeles. In March 2021, Goadsby, his research partner Lars Edvinson, MD, and two other scientists won the Brain Prize, the world's biggest brain research award, for uncovering this key cause of migraines, leading to several new pain-killing drugs. Darlene LeBlanc feels the benefits of the new drugs. Since age 27, she has endured up to 5 big headaches per month, each lasting up to 3 days. "You miss out on a lot," she says. Head pain kept LeBlanc, 63, of Land O'Lakes, Florida, in darkened hotel rooms on family vacations, and caused her to miss her daughter's gymnastics competitions. 3 years ago, LeBlanc signed up for a clinical trial for the CGRP blocker, Rimegepant. "It was like I never had a migraine at all," she says. But the new drugs don't work for everyone. A third of people think they're rubbish. A middle third can see a difference, and a third of people think they're just incredible. Goadsby says, LeBlanc, meanwhile, is enjoying life without head pain. So here are 3 new smartphone apps for pain control. Manage My Pain helps user track pain and what treatments help the most. Joint Academy connects people with physical therapists for daily exercise. And finally, Patient Controller allows user to adjust implanted neurostimulation devices easily. And the next article, AFib help without blood thinners. On a July morning in 2006, Marjorie Giovanni started talking gibberish. Then she passed out. Giovanni, now 71, was having a brain bleed, likely tied to the blood thinner warfarin, prescribed to prevent clots from atrial fibrillation, or AFib. Giovanni slowly regained the ability to speak and walk. She also reluctantly resumed taking warfarin. But in 2015, she became one of the first U.S. recipients of the Watchman, an implant that seals off a fingertip-sized pouch on the heart. During AFib, blood can pool in the pouch, clot, and travel to the brain, says cardiologist Robert Hauser, MD, 82, who first sketched out the Watchman's initial design. Surgeons implant the device by threading it through blood vessels. An analysis of more than 36,000 patients found that it reduced the risk of stroke by 70% and made warfarin unnecessary. And in the sidebar articles with this, for Hope, New Hope for Hearts, a smartphone app for pacemakers. The app connects via Bluetooth and sends reports automatically to your doctor, improving reliability. And drugs for heart failure. Diabetes drugs called SGLT-2 inhibitors seem to help with heart failure, even for people with healthy blood sugar levels. The drugs cut hospital visits and reduce mortality rates. Now, since we're talking about the heart here, let's go on to Centennial Living, the complete guide to heart health for people over 50. And we're now starting a new chapter in this magazine. It's called Your Diet. The foods on your plate can help keep your arteries clear and flexible. So we're just going to barely get started on this today. Although heart disease is the leading cause of death in the U.S., about 80% of these deaths could be prevented with healthy habits. And one of the most important components of that lifestyle at any age is diet. What we eat has a big impact on our blood vessel health and on our heart's ability to pump blood efficiently through the body, says Michelle Rothenstein, RD, a preventive cardiologist dietitian based in New York City and owner of EntirelyNourished.com. Certain foods clog the arteries, impeding blood flow, while other foods open up the arteries, decreasing inflammation and promote healthy blood flow. The good news is there's no one best diet for the heart. Sure, certain eating styles may have more benefits than others when it comes to the cardiovascular system. But overall, it boils down to a balanced diet, consuming a variety of nutrients that you can sustain for life. Heart disease is a progressive disease. It doesn't happen overnight. Rather, it's a cumulative effect of your nutrition and lifestyle over months, years, and decades of your life, Rothenstein says. You need a diet that works for you, and lifestyle changes such as being active, not smoking, getting adequate sleep, and managing stress to prevent further cardiac events. It's really in your hands, so be proactive. Diets that make your heart happy. The two eating styles that doctors most recommend for cardiovascular benefits are the Mediterranean and the DASH, Dietary Approaches to Stop Hypertension diets. These approaches are very similar. Both emphasize vegetables, fruit, whole grains, lean sources of protein like fish, chicken, breast, and soy, legumes, beans, and lentils, and healthy fats like nuts and olive oil. Red meat and sweets are limited. The differences are that the Mediterranean diet allows for a glass of red wine a day, and the DASH diet is more focused on consuming nutrients shown to benefit blood flow, such as magnesium, calcium, and potassium, and limiting sodium. The result is reduced blood pressure, which often creeps up with age. Since the diets are similar, both provide many of the same benefits. The healthy fats from foods like nuts, canola, and olive oils, and avocado are monounsaturated, which helps increase good HDL cholesterol and may decrease the risk of both heart disease and type 2 diabetes. Fatty fish, a star of the Mediterranean diet and part of the DASH diet too, like salmon, albacore tuna, and mackerel, are known for their omega-3 fatty acids. These good fats help reduce inflammation, which can increase an oxidized form of LDL, the bad cholesterol, explains Francine K. Welty, MD, PhD, Associate Professor of Medicine at Harvard Medical School and cardiologist at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston. This type of LDL is more likely to get into the arteries and lead to atherosclerosis. A buildup of fatty substances, or plaque, causes the arteries to narrow, decreasing blood flow to the heart. Besides omega-3s, many other foods in these diets, including olive oil, vegetables, and fruit, contain various nutrients that also help fight inflammation. But the benefits don't stop there. Vegetables, fruit, legumes, such as beans and lentils, and whole grains such as whole wheat bread and pasta, brown rice, quinoa, and plain oats are rich in fiber. Studies show that fiber can lower both total and LDL cholesterol. It also helps to feed our gut bacteria. The gut microbiome plays a major role in plaque development in the arteries, Rothenstein says. Our body produces metabolites when we eat certain foods. For example, when we eat red meat, our body produces TMAO, a compound that accelerates plaque formation in the arteries. When we eat fiber, the gut produces healthy metabolites that have roles throughout the body. And don't forget about antioxidants, found predominantly in plant foods, veggies, fruit, whole grains, nuts, seeds, herbs, and spices. These nutrients help fight off damage to the cells. Although supplements with antioxidants appear to have little or no benefits, according to a review of more than 20 years of research published in Coronary Artery Disease in 2015, diets rich in food sources of antioxidants are linked with a reduced risk of cardiovascular disease. Now, we have a couple of sidebar articles so far. Rockstar foods that will improve your heart health. Beets have nitric oxide, which helps open up blood vessels and improve blood flow. Dark leafy greens contain folate. This B vitamin helps regulate blood levels of the amino acid homocysteine, which has been linked with inflammation. Too much of it can increase the risk of heart disease. Red bell pepper is high in vitamin C, an antioxidant that boosts nitric oxide. Sauerkraut contains vitamin K12, which helps reduce calcium buildup in the arteries, a risk factor for heart disease. Dark chocolate, at least 70% cacao with minimal added sugars, is made from cocoa beans, which have flavonoids, powerful antioxidants that may help reduce blood pressure and prevent blood clots. And then the other sidebar article with this page, can a portfolio of foods lower cholesterol? There's another diet shown to reduce cholesterol called the portfolio diet. It was developed by David Jenkins, MD, a professor in nutritional sciences and medicine at the University of Toronto. It emphasizes nuts, soy protein, plant foods high in soluble fiber, like oats, barley, lentils, and beans, and plant sterol, enriched margarine. Fruits and vegetables are allowed as well. Sterols are natural substances that block cholesterol from being absorbed. More research is necessary, but so far the studies show the diet reduces LDL cholesterol by almost as much as statins do. However, it's more difficult to adhere to than the Mediterranean diet because it's more limited, explains Francine Welty. Now, moving on to prevention, find your calm. We're finishing up this section of this that we've been reading about, and these are the benefits of meditating. And this is number 6. It can help control your cravings. It's called mindless eating for a reason. Plowing through an entire bag of chips isn't usually a conscious decision. In a 2017 study published in the Journal of Behavioral Medicine, Brewer and a team of researchers created an app designed to use elements of meditation and mindfulness to reduce cravings. For 28 days, a group of adult, overweight, and obese individuals practiced daily mindfulness meditation techniques for 10 minutes. At the end of the trial, participants who completed the intervention had curbed their craving-related munching by 40%. Mindfulness helps us bring a curious awareness to the actual experience of craving so that we are not caught up in it, explains Brewer, whose research focuses on the ability of meditation to control cravings and anxiety. With meditation practice, we can break the link between urge and action. And finally, number 7, meditation may help you deal with pain. If pain is really in the mind, then theoretically, so is your ability to shut it down. And a small study published in the Journal of Neuroscience looked at how meditation might help you do exactly that. To establish a baseline, 15 people with no previous meditation experience were told to simply focus on their breath in an MRI machine. During the scan, researchers alternated applying a small amount of heat to the participants' calves and asked them to rate their pain after the experiment. The participants were then given 4 days of mindfulness training before repeating the entire process. After learning meditation techniques, the individuals reported a 57% reduction in unpleasantness and a 40% reduction in pain intensity. Meditation doesn't exactly change the physical pain, Brown says. The brain scans in the study showed that meditation reduced brain activity in areas associated with sensation. So it is likely changes our relationship to the feelings, she said. In other words, it can help your brain function and reframe pain and make it easier to experience. During meditation training, the person is actively taught how to observe what they're feeling and then not react to it, explains Goyal. It's one way of training the mind to reduce one's negative reaction. So the summary here, meditation doesn't exactly change the physical pain. It likely changes our relationship to the feeling, making it easier to experience. Now we're going to AARP, the magazine, and look at some real people. Inspiring stories of friends and neighbors in their own words. Let's start with Justice League. The ball's in their court. One-time NFL teammates Ed Newman and Tony Nathan are working together again. Ed Newman, we've been working together on and off for a long time now. We met in 1979 when Tony joined the Miami Dolphins. I was a 6-year-old vet on the offensive line by then, and I thought he was a gem. If I could get only 3 or 4 inches to block a hole for him, somehow he would get through it. I don't know how he did it. Tony Nathan. Well, I always say, Ed loves to help people. He knows I don't like talking about myself and my statistics, but I do have 2 AFL championship rings. Ed has those, plus a Super Bowl ring from the 1973 season. He wears it all the time. Newman. The last Super Bowl I played in January of 1985, I was already in law school at night. I had always thought I was going to be a professional of some kind, a dentist or something. I went to Duke University with that in mind. But football was just so much fun that I took a little detour. And when a knee injury ended my career later that year, I switched over to daytime law school to finish up. Nathan, my education took a different path from Ed's. While I was at the University of Alabama as an undergraduate, I played for the great coach Bear Bryant. I joined the NFL without finishing my degree. Coach Bryant made me promise to go back and finish later, but it never seemed like there was a good time to do that. Newman. After about a decade, I got the idea to run for county court judge. I was drawn to the role because a judge can take a part in ensuring the right outcome for a cause. As a lawyer, your role is to help your client win, even if that's in conflict with your gut feelings. I won my campaign and started on the job in January 1995. Nathan, meanwhile, I stayed in the league as a player and then a coach, including with the Dolphins. I also coached college football for a while, but at the end of my coaching career, I returned to Miami. Newman, Dolphin alumni from our era are extremely close. We have a bond because we were all scared of our coach, Don Shula. Or I should say, we were very respectful of him. Coach Shula was an extreme presence and very demanding. Nathan, he had a way of understanding men and getting what he needed out of them. Newman, sometime around 2010, my re-election campaign had a party at a big cigar store in Miami, and Tony attended as my guest. The bailiff I had been working with had told me he was leaving the job, so I asked Tony to apply. I thought working together would be fabulous. He thought I was just kidding with him. Nathan, sure did. Newman, I had to ask him about 4 or 5 times, and finally I said, "Let me talk to your wife." So I did, and she told him, "Tony, just see what he has to say." Nathan, I had doubts. I didn't know what kind of people I would be dealing with, because if he was in the jail division, I don't think I would have taken the job. But we handle misdemeanors like DUIs, marijuana, batteries, and thefts, petty thefts. So I decided to give it a try. I do paperwork, take fingerprints, and just police the courtroom. Newman, Tony and I are like brothers now. I count on him as my best friend, and we have our football history in common. We joke about it a lot. Nathan, since I've had this job, I've been able to re-enroll at the University of Alabama from a distance. My wife had her degree, and so did all 3 of my daughters. And they looked at me and said, "Well, you promised Coach Bryant you were going to finish your degree." So I did. It was rewarding because I was following up on a promise I had made. I kept my word. Newman, he's in the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame, and he likes to say his school's football team has at least 12 national championships dating back to 1925. My school, Duke, doesn't claim any national championships, so that's pretty good. Tony, I am not worthy. Nathan laughs. Duke is not worthy, Ed. Now, before our time is up today, I have time for a few more little comments from my friend in Canada. I just ordered a Life Alert bracelet, so if I get a Life, I'll be notified immediately. I think the proper term for senior woman should be queenagers. That's all. Carry on. What do we learn from cows, buffaloes, and elephants? It's impossible to reduce weight by eating green grass and salads and walking. If it helps you imagine autocorrect as a tiny little elf in your phone who's trying so hard to be helpful, but is in fact quite drunk. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.